All right. So I gave this year last day of Pesach, but I decided I wanted to give it again because I like it. So there's two comments in the Sefer Maaser Rav. Just wanted to point out that Hanhagas of the Vilna Gaon, and it's relevant perhaps halacha l'maaseh in certain areas. Something it's a tzarich iyun, you know, how to paskin in reality according to a lot of shitas, but. But there is, it's kind of the same thing. That's not the whole Sefer Maaser Rav. That's a Rav Sternbach has. He didn't finish the Sefer, but it's like I'll show you if he starts with the Rashi Prakim there, like in the beginning of the. So the whole Maaser Rav is a tiny little Sefer. I'm saying this is the manuscript that they used is in the back of the Sefer here. You know, like this is the whole Sefer. I'm saying. Not even, we haven't even started it yet here. Yeah, this Hilchos Brachos, Hilchos Tzitzis, just like, it's a couple of hundred small points, nothing fancy. Like, this just has a lot of raid. This, as far as I know, this is the newest one. I have a few of them at home, so this is one of them. But I'm saying, if you look at the beginning, he does include the Lushan of the Maaser Rav, and he gives his own biur on a lot of the things. Like, this is the first halacha in the Maaser Rav, and he gives his own biur. And he throws in stuff from the Arizal also. Yeah, this is the same. This is a line from the Maaser Rav, and then he goes.
He doesn't have every single thing.
Well, he'd only got through, you know, about half of it. You know, he only got through till. Yeah, he only got through about half of it. I don't know if he ever plans on doing the other half, but. Right, I don't know if he ever plans on doing the other half. So anyway, I just pointed out that I'm originally from Kew Garden Hills. And now I live in North Woodmere. So in Kew Garden Hills, we used to have a rule. The Vod of Queens has a rule that they don't open the chametz stores on Motzai Pesach. And in the five towns, they do. So we used to have a, you know, my older brother and myself had a hanhaga that we used to take a trip while my two younger brothers were cleaning up. So we would take a trip to Dunkin' Donuts and the pizza shop and all the other places that, you know, that were selling chametz so that we could, you know, Mizaka, the rest of the family, in enjoying, you know, some pizza and some donuts on Motzoi Pesach. So the real question is, who's right? Is the five towns vod correct, or is the Queens vod correct? Now, this is not really what I'm trying to get to, but Lamaisa, the reason I think the Queens vod doesn't do it is that they once had a problem that stores were opening up too early. They were still firing up the ovens and using the chametz on Pesach when it officially didn't belong to them, and so I think just to stay clear of trouble, they stopped with the whole business, and they said, wait till tomorrow. But Lamaisa, five towns, apparently people are more trustworthy, or, you know, I don't know what. But Lamaisa, they... What? Of course they're more trustworthy. Of course. Lamaisa, it's not an issue. So the question is there any grounds, alpi halacha, for this particular hanhaga? So there's a famous comment that we've mentioned in the beginning, in Kuf Pehe, Os Kuf Pehe in the Maaser Rav, starts off with the fact that the Gaon held that there was a mitzvah to eat matzah called Shiva, and even though it wasn't a chiyuv, but it was a rishus, and it was a mitzvah kiyumis, and the last day it says v'haya mechaviv ma'od mitzvah achilas matzah kol Shiva, uviyom tov achron haya ochel suuda shlishis. He used to eat shalosh shudis on the last day of Pesach. Even though the rest of the Yom Tovim and the rest of, you know, the Shalosh Regalim, he never ate Shalosh Shudis. That's a discussion in the poskim. Is there an inyan to eat Shalosh Shudis on Yontif or not? If you look in the footnote number Lamed over here, he quotes the two dais in the tour, whether or not you're supposed to have Shalosh Shudis on Yontif. All right, there's different shitas. I think there's an interesting shita to the Chazon Ish that he says you're supposed to be Mosif Tavshel Echad. You're supposed to add a course or a dish to the regular Yontif meal and Zecher to Shalosh Shudis. Not sure what that accomplishes exactly. I never saw that inside. I saw that quoted somewhere. But L'maisa the Minig, I think, B'chol Tfutzas Yisrael, is not to have Shalosh Shudis on Yontif. I don't know. You know anybody who does? L'maisa, I think it's a Minig not to have Shalosh Shudis on Yontif. And the Gaon did not have Shalosh Shudis on Yontif either, except for the last day of Pesach. Mipnei Chavivus Mitzvah Sachilas Matzah Shizmanu Holich Lo. He saw the time for the mitzvah achilas matzah slipping away, and he made a shalosh shudis dafka on Pesach. Uv motzoi yom tov haya mishtada litom chametz. He would try very hard to eat chametz. The Gaon's minig was to eat chametz on motzoi Pesach, like the five towns. So, and it's interesting to note, the Gaon held you're not allowed to sell chametz. So he didn't sell his chametz. It wasn't like the rabbi resold, you know, bought back his chametz half hour before after Pesach. He held you don't sell chametz. And therefore he said you could sell Mechira Gemura, obviously, if you had a real sale. That's one thing, but he didn't do any of the sales the way we do it, in terms of, you know, that we keep it on the premises, and we, that wasn't, the Vilna Gaon wasn't into that. He held, if you sell something to something, it's like every other transaction, you hand, he gives you the money, you give him the chametz. That's, you know, but Lamaisa, so he, it was unclear where he got his chametz from, but he got, so he would try very hard to eat some chametz on Motzoi Pesach, v'chein chadash b'urta denagi timnesar, and also on the second day of, on the night of the 18th, he would try to eat chadash. Now, what do we call chadash the night of the 18th? Yashan, right? So he ate yashan. It wasn't that he ate chadash. He ate yashan, but he ate the yashan after it became yashan, right? That was the point. As soon as it became yashan, he wanted to eat the yashan. And he would try to hold back from eating matzah shmura after Pesach, you know, and it was all to show that he was only doing it for the mitzvah. That's the statement of the Maaser Rav. That's one minig that the Gro used to have, which was to eat as much matzah as possible on Pesach, and then after Pesach, dafki eat chametz right away. And they quote from the Sefer Torah Tamima that the Vilna Gaon used to dafka make havdalah on beer, which is not his chiddush. The Rama himself writes that there's an inyan to make havdalah on beer, and the Gra writes on that. It sounds like he's not so into it. It sounds like if beer is chamar medina, then you should, but otherwise not, right? The Rama says you're supposed to make havdalah on beer, mishum chavivus, that you're so pumped up to drink beer. You haven't had a good, you know, an ice cold bud in 7 days, 8 days already. So you're all excited to drink the beer. So that's why you should make havdalah on the beer, because of the chavivus. But the Gro would do it because to show that the reason he was drinking beer was dafka not because, you know, he doesn't like beer. It was because he was preventing himself from eating chametz mishum the mitzvah. Okay, that's one halacha. That's pretty self-explanatory, but I'll try to add a little bit to it. And then there's a famous halacha in the Ramah also. This is brought down in Os Kufay and Zayin in the Maaser Rav. It says, B'Shabbos HaGadol B'Mincha. So the opinion of the Ramah was, this quoted in the Siman Tuf Lamed, Sif Aleph, that the minig was to say the Haggadah on the evening of Shabbos HaGadol, that on Mincha, after Mincha time, Shabbos HaGadol. So the Gaon dafka held not so. Einom rimavodim ayinu mitam amavor b'mechilta v'nitkena b'hagadah. Right? And he says the reason he didn't say the Haggadah after Mincha on Shabbos HaGadol was, the Medrash says, the Medrash, and we say it in the Haggadah, yachol me'rash chodesh talmud lomar ba'avur zeh b'sha shematzo mar munachim lefanecha, etc. So that's the famous drasha that we have. I might have thought you're supposed to start by Rosh Chodesh, dafka b'yom ahu, maybe mibod yom. No, right, b'avur zeh. You have to be able to point to the matzah and the maror munachim lefanecha in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, and therefore you should not read the Haggadah except on the evening. So that's very nice, but we know why the Ramah said you're supposed to start the Haggadah. Right, so, I mean, Pesach is coming. It's Shabbos HaGadol. So the meaning is to read the Haggadah. What, so the Ramah didn't know that there's a drusha in the Haggadah that he was currently reading that said you're not Yotzi Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim except if it's the Seder night? I think it's pretty self-explanatory that he did know that. So how could it be that the Gaon has this bomb kasha that the Ramah is against the Beferish and Medrash and the text of the Haggadah itself? I'm saying it's pretty clear the Ramah was well aware of this medrash, and he didn't really care.
The drasha is that you cannot read it before, or that it's only...
The drasha is that you can't read it before. If you read the Haggadah today, you would not be like over ba'aseh, that it says in ba'avur zeh, you're supposed to dafka read the Haggadah on the Seder night and not any other time. It's hard to understand such a thing. So I'll try to explain it a little bit. So maybe to try to be mavar, these two minhagim, these are the Pesach ones. You can look through you look through the Bi'ur Agros and the Ma'aser Ravs and all the other Sfarim of the Gra, you'll find this is a very recurring theme. I'll try to explain it based on something I said earlier in the year in Maseches Sukkah. I don't think we said it together in the Sugya of Yura. We never spoke out that Sugya, did we? All right, so we know that the Gemara has, basically the Mishnah starts off with a Ma'aser Listor, right? The Mishnah says, Ochle Mishosin Aroi Chutz Sukkah, and they say there's a Ma'aser Shehoya. Who's the Tana in the Ma'aser Shehoya? Anybody remember? One of the Tanaim in the Ma'aser Shehoya says that they gave him a certain amount of less than a kibitza of bread and a kiton shalmayim, and he said, "Helum l'sukkah, bring them up. We're gonna have them in the sukkah." So how come he dafka had them in the sukkah? So the Gemara says it's the Gemara has a kasha first. They say it's a ma'aser listor. It says Oklahoma shows and right chutz l'sukkah. Then you bring in story. I think it's two stories where they dafka had it in the sukkah. So the Gemara answers. You remember the Gemara's answer? So the Gemara wanted to say it's a chesuri mechser of achi katani that the Gemara is the Mishnah is lacking words, and what words need to be thrown in? I said ochel mishosin arai chutz l'sukkah. But if you want to be machmir al atzmacha leispa mishum yura, right? If you want to be more machmir and even have an achil and shtir saroi in the sukkah, there's no iser of yura. And what's the raya of these two stories? So the Mishnah quotes stories to show that there's no iser of yura to eat and drink achil saroi in the sukkah. So I guess the question is, what was the Havamina that there was Yura, and what's the Maskana that there's no Yura? It doesn't really explain it in the Mishnah. So the standard explanation of why it is or is not Yura is mentioned in the... this is not the only explanation, but the one I would assume it would be the standard explanation is mentioned by the Maritz Chayas on the Daf there. It quotes the Gemara in Psachim, which quotes a little bit of a stira between the Shita of Rabban Gamliel, one place, Shita Rabban Gamliel, another place. The Shita Rabban Gamliel in Maseches Brachos was, I believe, that you're not allowed to be machmir to say Kriyashma. Or no, he was machmir to dafka say Kriyashma. Right? He said, I don't want to put off the mitzvah of Kriyashma even for 1 second, even when he was a chassan. But for everyone else, it seemed that it would be usher to say Kriyashma. And in the Gemara in Psachim, the Mishnah in Psachim, it says that in the Perek Makom Shenagu, they go through all of these different dinim as to when they had a minhag to do malacha. Did you guys get to Makom Shenagu yet? So the Mishnayos go through all these different halachas of where there's a minhag. It starts off the minhag to do malacha on Erev Pesach, not to do malacha on Erev Pesach. So that's the original Makom Shenagu. And then we get to the Makom Shenagu, so we go through all. It's like the Ein Beins in Maseches Megillah, right? They have all these random Ein Beins. Because it starts off, there's Ein Bein Adarishan Adarsheni, Ela Mikra Megillah, Matanas Lavyanim. So then they go through all the other Ein Beins. So here also they have all the Makom Shenagus. So one of the Makom Shenagus is, do you do Malacha on Tisha B'Av or do you not do Malacha on Tisha B'Av? That's pretty closely related to doing Malacha on Erev Pesach. Right? So there it's Mashma that Rabbi Gamliel holds the opposite Shita. Not really holding the Shitas too clearly, but Lamaisa. There it's Mashma that Rabbi Gamliel holds the opposite Shita. So they ask, what's the difference between Kabbalah Salmach Shemaim Kriyashma versus the idea of not doing Malach on Tisha B'Av? So the Gemara answers, when it comes to Kabbalah Salmach Shemaim of Tisha B'Av, Kabbalah Salmach Shemaim of Kriyashma, so that's already your own thing. You can be Mashar, your own Das, and you can know that you're not really going to be able to concentrate. And a person who chooses to do it, so that's a little bit of a problem of Yura. But when it comes to going to work on Tisha B'Av, so that anyone who looks at you is going to know that they're going to know that you're skipping work. It's not so pashut. Meaning, you see a guy who's not at work that day. What do you think? I don't know, anything. I don't know. Maybe he had a day off. Maybe, he's out of work. Maybe he doesn't care about making money. I don't know. Saying the Gemara uses a lashon. It says, Kama batlani ika b'shuka. How many people are there bumming around the streets that don't have work? Okay, so lamaisa, maybe the reason the guy's not at work is something else. It's nothing to do with the fact that he thinks he's so great and holy that he doesn't go to work on Tisha B'Av. So that's why we could say that maybe the guy would be allowed to say, would not be allowed to say Kriyashma, but he would be allowed to ditch work on Tisha B'Av. And he does hold to the Yisra of Yura, but it's not Yura to ditch work on Tisha B'Av because it could be he's ditching work for an ulterior motive. Nothing to do with that. I know whenever I could get a day off, I take a day off. What do I need to go to work for? You know, Baruch Hashem, I love my job, but as I like to tell people, the only thing I like better than going to work is not going to work. So if I have a day off, I take a day off. That's the possibility over there. So Maritz Chayes quotes the Gemara in Pesachim, and he says, that's probably the pshat in the Gemara in Sukkah as well. It's not an Isser of Yura. Why? Because the guy's going to go into the sukkah to drink some water. You know what he has waiting for him in the sukkah? You know for a fact, because he made an announcement. He says, I'm only going to drink this cup of water in the sukkah. And do you know why? Because I'm makbid only to drink water in the sukkah, not to drink any water outside of the sukkah. Because that's just me. I'm just that frum. So Inachinami, says the Maritz Chayes, that would be an Isser of Yura. Because what do you have to announce to the world about all you're from kite for? So he says, no, the pshat is, the guy has some water, he goes into the sukkah to drink some water. The person who's looking on thinks, maybe he has a full meal coming out, or maybe he already ate a full meal, and this is just, he's just washing it down at the end. Who knows what the guy's motivations are? So therefore, there's no isser yura, because it's easy to be metaritz, it's easy to get out of explaining why this may or may not be yura. So that's, I would assume that's the standard pshat, in terms of, A, what's considered yura in general, something which is blatantly obvious that you're doing it l'shem your own chumras, versus B, something that's not really considered yura, it's just something that you could look and you could think that he's doing it to be machmer, or you could think that he's doing it for some ulterior motive. It's irrelevant. It doesn't make you think twice inherently. All right, without getting involved in the svaras of yura too much, that's basically what one could say is a standard approach. However, in order to explain what I would say is not the standard approach in that regard, but that would be the approach of the Gra, perhaps we could explain, we'll go back to a different discussion in Maseches Brachos, which is the opening Mishnah, has discussion as to what's the earliest time that a person could say Kriya Shema, right? The opening Mishnah of Maseches Brachos says that you're supposed to start saying Kriya Shema from when? Anybody remember? You probably know. Right? What's the earliest you could say Kriya Shema Ashel Arvis? Seizah kochavim, right? Anybody remember the lashon of the Mishnah? The mishosha kohanim nichnasim lechol trumasim, right? It's when the kohanim come home to eat truma. Why? What does that have to do with seizah kochavim? So when a kohen is tamei, he's not allowed to eat truma. When he goes to the mikvah, still not allowed to eat truma. What does he have to wait for? He has to wait for Harav Shemesh. He has to wait for Tzeisah Kochavim. And then the combination of having gone to the mikvah and the Harav Shemesh, that makes him Torah. So the Mishnah says, Mishosha Kohanim Nichnasim Lechol Chumasim. That's the earliest time to say Kriya Shema, right? So we spoke about this a little last year in the Tarti Nisasri Shir. We said that the Rashi on the Mishnah asked the obvious Kasha. It's not true. Have you been to a Mincha Ma'ariv Minyan? They daven Maariv and they say Kriya Shema way before Tzeisah Kochavim. Depending on where you live, it could be more than an hour before Tzeisah Kochavim. They say that nobody seems to have a problem saying Kriya Shema early. So Rashi gives a teretz that it's not a problem because really they're yotzei, they're Kriya Shema min haTorah with Kriya Shema al Hamita, because Rashi Shita is that only the first parsha of Kriya Shema is min haTorah, right? That's, we mentioned this already recently. There's every shita about how much of Kriya Shema is midaraisa, you know, you can get involved in all the different opinions. So then you have the opinion of Tosfos that says, no, that's not really what it means that Kriya Shema is yotzei Kriya Shema only after Tzeisah Kochavim. You're really going to be yotzei Kriya Shema, says Rabbeinu Tam, even after Plaga Mincha. And if not Plaga Mincha, there are other Tanoim that you could rely on as well. So even though, on one hand, you would think, hey, it's the first Mishnah in Shas, like, I don't know, even if anybody who set out to learn Shas did this Mishnah, right? May have done many other Mishnahs as well, but he definitely did this Mishnah. And even if he didn't finish the whole first Mishnah in Shas, he did this halacha for sure. So the first halacha in Shas, Rashi's already asking, how come we don't observe that halacha? So you would think if you're going to paskin a halacha like a Beferish Mishnah, it would probably be the first Mishnah in Shas, right? I don't know, first Mishnah in Shas, maybe the last Mishnah in every Seder, because you probably went to a Siyam and heard that one. You know, and it's hard to imagine that we don't even paskin like the first opinion in Shas. But the Lemaisa, according to Tosos, we don't. Bnei Tam says, we either paskin that you could say Kriya Shema as early as Plaga Mincha, or there are other opinions. The Gemara on Beis Amid Beis quotes a whole bunch of other opinions in Tanaim when the earliest time you could say Kriya Shema, and many Tanaim hold it could even be before Tzeis HaKochav. Not as early as Plag HaMincha, but before Tzeis HaKochav. So perhaps we're relying on some other sheet in Tanaim. Either we're completely ignoring this mission in favor of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the fourth parak, and we're saying that you could say Kriya Shema after Plag HaMincha, or we're relying on one of the other Tanaim Shita in the Brises that aren't in the Gemara, and that aren't in the Mishnah, that we could say Kriya Shema before the time of Tzeis HaKochav. So that's the Shita of Tosfos and Rabbeinu Tam. And, you know, generally it's assumed that Rabbeinu Tam holds that Kriya Shema is only mid Rabbanan, and that's why he holds that you can say it early, as opposed to Rashi and the other Rishonim who hold that Kriya Shema is Menat Torah, and that's why you have to say it after Tzeis HaKochav. Okay, but Lamaisa, this is the Machlokes, right? And they say, what about the Yerushalmi? The Yerushalmi says, why are we saying Kriya Shema at the Mincha Ma'ariv of Minyan? So he says, Kidei Lama B'Tfila Mitoch Devrei Torah. Because really, the Kriya Shema counts for nothing, but you want to be Omer B'Tfila Mitoch Devrei Torah. You want to have had some words of Torah before you get up there and you actually daven Shemona Esrei. That's how Rashi learns it. He says, you see from that Yerushalmi, you're not Yotzei anything when you say Kriya Shema before it says, but you're accomplishing something. Right? And Tosa says the Yerushalmi was talking about something else altogether. Yerushalmi was saying that, like, even at Ma'ariv, they didn't say Ashrei at Ma'ariv, but they wanted to say some form of words of Torah. So they used to say Kriya Shema at Ma'ariv. But that wasn't Kriya Shema within the context of the Birchus Kriya Shema. That was a Kriya Shema that they used to say Shema Yisrael Shalom Kein Hashem Echad to sort of get the ball rolling for Ma'ariv, not the Kriya Shema the way we say it in our Ma'ariv. Ah, Lamaisa, that's the machlokes between Rashi and Tosa and all the Rishonim way in there. So the Ravya is quoted by the Mordechai, the opening Mordechai in the Masechta, and he says, you know who's correct? What's the correct halacha? Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam holds you could say Kriya Shema before it says HaKochavim. That's the way you're supposed to paskin. And the Ravya continues, and he says, and anyone who wants to be more machmir than Shitas Rabbeinu Tam is not allowed to do so. It's Mechse Kiyura. And unless you're a well-known tzaddik, you're not allowed to be more machmir than Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. And so I guess if the position ever presented itself that you had a chance to daven with a minyan, let's say, and say Kriya Shema before Tzeis HaKochavim, and you chose to dafka wait, that would be an isser of yura, according to the Ravya, as quoted by the Mordechai. Because really there's no inyan to be more machmir than Shitas Rabbeinu Tam at all.
In Rabbeinu Tam, she did it.
You'd say it definitely before Tzeis HaKochav. Definitely before Tzeis HaKochav. How early before Tzeis HaKochav? So perhaps even as early as Plag HaMincha, but even if it's not Plag HaMincha, you could be somech on the shittas that say that you can say it before Tzeis HaKochav.
You don't have to repeat Shema.
There's no need to repeat Shema. Repeating Shema is for show-offs, right? That's the psak of the Ravya. That's only for people who want to violate the Isser of showing, you know, being Bali Gaiva. So, okay, so that's the Shita of the Ravya. So the Shita of the Ravya is very questionable. It's hard for us to understand what he's talking about, right? We know, first of all, we know that there's an Inyan in general of going based on the majority Shita, right? So there's no Din Acharei Rabban Lahatos exactly when it comes to the Rishonim. It's not like, well, if the Rambam and the Rosh and the Tur and, you know, the Rav Yoh, they all hold one way, and then there's the Bali HaTosfos, right? So they're always going to be the Rov. They hold a different way, so like, they're always going to win. That's not, we don't go by number, we don't just count up all the numbers of the Rishonim. You go through the Sugya and the Poskim see who they think is correct. Obviously, the Shulchan Aruch does have a system of trying to go based on the Rif, the Ramam, and the Rush, but that's, you know, it's not a straight-up system in that sense. It just means that he paskins like the Rambam more often than not, right? Because the Rif, the Rambam usually agree, and then the Rush disagree. So generally speaking, the Mechaber paskins like the Rambam and the Rif, and then, you know, it's lav dafka because of two out of three in the classic sense of the word, although that is the official system that the Beis Yosef uses. But l'maisa, it's not that you count up all the Rishonim and you come out with a psak. So, but nevertheless, here, the vast majority of Rishonim clearly agree with Rashi, not Rabbeinu Tam. It's no question. The vast majority of Rishonim say you're definitely supposed to say Kriya Shema after Tzeis HaKochavim. It's the first opinion quoted in Shas. It's not like this new crazy idea that we're bringing in. So it's very hard to understand why it is that we're not going to be we're not at least going to be choshesh for the other opinions. So at least it seems to me that the Rav Yah had a style of psak which was just that. It was psak, and that was it. Meaning this is actually in keeping with the style that the Vilna Gaon developed later as well. Right? There's a famous comment in the Maaser Rav that the Vilna Gaon did not wear tefillin d'Rabbeinu Tam. He absolutely refused to wear tefillin d'Rabbeinu Tam, and his Talmud Reb Chaim Volozhiner did wear tefillin d'Rabbeinu Tam. So at some point Reb Chaim Volozhiner asked the Gra, how come he doesn't wear tefillin d'Rabbeinu Tam? And the Gra said to him, I forget the number, but I think it was 37. He said, if you're going to wear tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, I have 37 other pairs of tefillin that you should have to put on. It was either 37 or 47. But I think he said, I have many, many more opinions in Rishonim that I can show you that you should be choshish for. Why dafka just Rabbeinu Tam? He says, you be choshish for every opinion in Rishonim. So you have to wear all these different pairs of tefillin if you're going to be choshish for Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. So they said after that, Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner stopped wearing tefillin in Rabbeinu Tam. So, but the Gaon Shita was that's not how you paskan halacha. You paskan halacha based on the Shita that you think is the most correct. If you think Rashi Shita is correct, then Rashi Shita is the halacha, finished. There's no room for discussing other opinions in the psak. You discuss the other opinions before you arrive at the psak. Once you have the psak, that's the halacha. You know, whatever the opposite of the brisker method of psak halacha, that was the Gaon's method of psak halacha. And it seems that was what the Rav Yah held as well. That once the psak is like Rabbeinu Tam, there is no inyan whatsoever to be more machmir than Rabbeinu Tam. It's not. There's no such thing.
But our question was, why is he choosing Rabbeinu Tam?
What?
But our question was, why is he choosing Rabbeinu Tam over Rashi? This just says that finality.
No, so I was saying, I'm not saying why is he choosing Rabbeinu Tam over Rashi. Pashta says he held that Kriya Shema was mid the Rabbanan, like the Shita of Tosfos. Right, that's why you could say Kriya Shema before Tzeisa Kochav. But even so, if he agrees with Rabbeinu Tam, my question is, okay, you don't have to go by the majority, but at least be choshish for the vast majority of Rishonim and don't say Kriya Shema after Tzeis. At least say, like, if you want to say Kriya Shema after Tzeis, that's a good idea.
The fact that he says that
you shouldn't do it.
Sure,
you're wasting your time. Right. So you see that once he passes like Rabbeinu Tam, that's the psak. There's nothing else to worry about. And this was the Gaon style of psak in general. A couple of examples, right? I could think of, maybe there are others, maybe you could think of others. Two brachas offhand that we have the minhag to say without shame and malchus. Right? You think of any brachas that we say without shame and malchus? What? What do you mean? Like when you see somebody? You'd be really supposed to say that with shame and malchus. We just don't. I don't know. It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to say, when you see somebody, haven't seen somebody for over a year, you're supposed to say, Machayim Mason. No, but what I'm saying is, the real din is to say, Baruch Adah Hashem Machayim Mason. I don't think we b'shita paskin, you say it without shame and malchus, right? There are two brachas that halacha l'maisa we say without shame and malchus. Brain of Fashas is one, right? And the other one's a little harder for guys your age, right? Baruch Shah Patrani. Right, so we say Baruch Shah Patrani, but the Gaon's minig was to say both brachas with shame and malchus. Well, Bar Nefash is just shame, right? You say Baruch Dar Shalom Kinnim Acholam, Bar Nefash is Rabbezuchim. So now I'll call Masha Baruch Lachios Baim Nefash Kolchay Baruch Ato Hashem Cheolamim. That's why don't we do that? Because we have a machlokes in the poskim whether or not you're supposed to say it at all. Should there be a chasima or should there not be a chasima? So we compromise, and we say that. Like that's the Ramah style. The Ramah style is always to be choshish for the other opinion. The Ramah, the Derech Klal is a very machmir, right? Very machmir shitos in general, and it's the style of the Chassidei Ashkenaz that we're always trying to be choshish, to be yotzei as many opinions as possible. The Gaon did not hold that way. The Gaon held that the psak is the psak, finished. And he write is I think it's the sons of the Vilna Gaon write in the Hakdama to the Biur Agron Shulchan Aruch that he held that he had a hachra vadois in every sif in Shulchan Aruch. That every sif in Shulchan Aruch, he had a psak. He didn't have a hanhaga. He says, this is the psak halacha, and this is the way I hold. So he didn't have room for being choshish for other opinions, because what do you mean choshish for one other opinion? I can be choshish for 50 other opinions. He wasn't into that. He said, this is the psak halacha, this is the way you go, and finish. There's nothing else to talk about. If I hold, you're supposed to say the bracha, baruch shepatrani, done. So say the bracha, baruch adah Hashem lakinah v'chalam shepatrani me'on shoshel zah. Don't say baruch shepatrani me'on shoshel zah. That doesn't count for anything. That's not a bracha, right? We say in the Gemara, the bracha doesn't have shame and malchus, it's not a bracha. So what, are you making a non-bracha? So if you hold you're supposed to say it, then say it. If you hold you're not supposed to say it, then say nothing. Don't say both or neither. So that was that. That's the that was the shita of the Gra in Psak Halacha, right? That's I was once out of town at a bar mitzvah, and only an out of town rav can get away with this. That the bar mitzvah boy got his aliyah, and the rav gets up there and he says, and the father will now say the bracha, which describes the intense joy and pride that he's feeling in his heart at this moment. So he goes, Baruch Shem Patronim, Yom Shishol Zeh. So I was like, okay, that's, you can get away with that sort of thing in out-of-town places. I don't know if you could try that. Don't try that at home. But the style of Psak of Vilna Gaon doesn't allow for that, right? What about the Brisker style, which is, to be choshish for every opinion? So that's more in line with the Sheet of the Ramah. But even the Ramah didn't go that far. So where does that come from? Try to be choshish for every opinion? So I think that's the Prima Gadim didn't invent it, but the Prima Gadim mentions that as a style of Hider Mitzvah. Right? I'm sure you guys discussed the sugi of Hider Mitzvah at length. So there's a din of Hider Mitzvah in the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, and there's a Hider Mitzvah in the Gavra. Right? So what do you mean Hider Mitzvah in the Gavra? Where do we get that from? What's the makor for that? You guys talk about this at all?
What sources?
Yeah, like some of the makoras for Hider Mitzvah in the Gavra. Yeah, so the Rashbam and Rashi in the beginning of Arvei Pesachim that you want to eat the matzah l'teyavon, right? Lulav tzarech egetz, you could argue that's chefz, you could argue that's gavra, right? Feirish and asiach l'chukecha, right? So predating the asiach l'chukecha by 1,000 years, so you have, there you go.
There's a fourth one, but I don't understand it. Is it a maror?
Which by mar?
I don't know. The fourth one by maror? You know what I'm talking about?
By what?
Is the fourth one?
Who's that?
It's not
Mara. I don't know. I'll have to check it out. I don't know. So anyway, so you have this. You have the sheet of the Rashbam. You want to eat the matzah l'teyavon. You want to answer dafka your own amen. You don't want to listen to the or you want to say the bracha by yourself. So these types of things, right? So they indicate a type of hider mitzvah done by the Gavra, not just in the Chefza. So another type of Hider Mitzvah in the Gavra.
Sefer HaChinuch, lettuce is best used for Maror because lettuce is called Chasa, and it's better to use that because it reminds us that Hashem was Chasa on us when it took us out of Mitzrayim. So the open is done in a more spiritual way. As that from uh-huh.
Okay, that's,
But then I think he rejects that, though.
Okay, it's a stretch. Okay, Lamaisa. We see that this already comes up in the Rishonim, right? So the Prima Gadim wants to say another way to show Hider Mitzvah in the Gavra is to try to do the Mitzvah L'chol Adeos, to try to be Yotze as many opinions in the Poskim as possible when you do the Mitzvah. So this would be called a Hider Mitzvah. So I don't think the Gon would agree with this Shita. He would say that that's called Shtus. That's not a Hider Mitzvah. That's trying to be Yotze all the opinions in the world, that's not the way we Paskin Shilas. We Paskin Shilas by going with the Psak, finished. I don't know that for a fact, but that seems to be a pretty consistent theme throughout the writings of the Vilna Gaon and the reports of the Talmidim. He held what he held, he didn't hold what he didn't hold. Finished. So that's at least understanding, a little bit of what the Rav Yom might be talking about. Yeah.
So that's like the brachas instance. In general, if you're doing something that can tie in both shitas, that's kind of just an idea. I remember like in the Pesach notes, like switching the girsas around with in the girsa of the bittul to fill Rashi and close the shita. It's like in that way you can fill both shitas, and like I'm saying the brachas thing sounds like in that example it seems like that's a lacking. Because you're in the middle and not doing.
But you can't be mafker something before and then be mavatel. That's the problem.
So I'm saying in any other instances, let's say besides brachos, where you wouldn't necessarily be sacrificing.
I'll try to address that point. I would say that definitely the way we do business, that's for sure the way we should do things, like the Prima Gadim and the Brisker style. But Lamaisa, I don't think the Gon would conduct business that way. He would say, you have to paskin if you think Rashi is right or you think Tosos is right. You can't just say, well, according to Rashi, I'm being mevatel my chametz, and according to Tosfos, I'm being mafker my chametz. That doesn't fly. So anyway, just to explain it a little bit better, so there's a stira pointed out in the Staleo, what's the Gon's Pirush HaMishnayos? Staleo, I think. What? I think it's a Staleo. I forgot what it's called already. So he has a comment on the Mishnah in the end of the first parak that Beishamai Shita is that when you say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, you're supposed to lie down. And when you say Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, you're supposed to stand up. You Makayim the Pshuto Shel Mikra B'Shach B'Chov Kumecha. Oh, the Kol Elio? No, Kol Elio is Vorts on Chumash. I think it's a Staleo, but... All right. Anyway, Lamaisa. So that was that. That's a so Rabbi Tarfon in the Mishnah tried to do that, and he said that I was on the road one time, and I lay down on the side of the road to try to be Makayim the Shita Beishamai, and it was a Sakana of Ibnei Alistin. Right. So what they say back to him, like, oh, I'm sorry that happened to you. No. What they say? Kedai ha'yisa lachuv ba'atzmacha she'avart al divrei Beisila. He said, good. You should have even been killed because you violated the words of Beisila. So that was the sensitive reply of the Tanoim, that if you go against the Shita Beis Hillel and you try to be more machmer for Shita Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel, you deserve what you get. That was the one approach. However, in the eighth parak in Maseches Brachos, there's a little bit of a stira because there's a machlokas. The whole eighth parak Mishnah is a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel by Dvarim that are noig besuda. And one of the big arguments that they have there is if you forgot and you left your spot, do you have to go back to bench? Or can you just bench where you are? So Beis Hillel is Mekel, and Beis Hillel says you can just bench where you are. And Beis Shammai is Machmir. Beis Shammai says you have to go back, even b'di'evit. So that was the Machlokes. So then the Gemara relates a story that a certain individual decided to be Machmir b'di'evit like Beis Shammai, and he went back and he found a wallet full of money. And another individual tried to be Mekel Lechadchila, like Beis Hillel. He bedafka left, having in mind that he would bench somewhere else, and he got eaten by a lion. So Tosus points out on that Gemara, you see clearly, we paskin like Beis Shammai, that the halach is, you have to go back. So okay, Lamaisa, that's the minig is to paskin like Beis Shammai on that one, and to try to go back. It's a machlokas, how much of that parak do we paskin like everything like Beis Shammai, or only a few halachas, whatever. Lamaisa, the Vilna Gaon asks the steer, he says, over there, we had somebody who went against Shitas Beis Hillel to be more machmer like Beis Shammai, and it was Rabbi Tarfon, and we said, Rabbi Tarfon, you're doing the wrong thing. Right? You should have gotten in trouble for that. And in the 8th parak, we're saying, oh, you see clearly that there's an inyan to be machmer for Shitas Beis Shammai, even according to Beis Hillel, because the Lashon of the Gemara is that he went lechadchila like Beis Hillel, and he got in trouble. Meaning you're only allowed to do b'di'evit like Beis Hillel, but if you want to l'chadchila, of course you have to keep Beis Shammai. It's no question. Right? So that's the kasha. That's it. What time is it now? Oh, we're out of time? Oh, so we're out of time. Anyway, maybe we'll continue after Mar for a couple of minutes. But so he said that was the kasha that they asked. And the Gra explains, very simple. He says, when it comes to the machlokes, b'shach b'chav kumecha, it's a machlokes, what does the pasuk mean? Beis Hillel says it's talking about the meaning of the words, right? The meaning of the words, that it's the zman that you should say kriyashma. So he says that the zman is zman shchiva, and the zman is zman kima. Beis Shammai says it's talking about what you should do while you're saying kriyashma. You should be lying down, you should be standing up. So according to Beis Hillel, if you do shitas Beis Shammai, you're doing nothing. You're not doing something which is supported by the Torah at all. Whereas according to Beis Shammai, you're being mekayim the words of the pasuk. So you're not adding anything according to Beis Hillel by doing like Beis Shammai. But in the case of benching, of course, if you decide to be more machmir like Shitas Beis Shammai, even Beis Hillel would agree that you're mekayim something by doing that. There's a bigger in to bench where you ate, even according to Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel only would say that b'di'evit you don't have to go back. But if you chose to go back with the Yevid, Beis Hillel would agree that you're accomplishing something by doing so. So what you see is that the Gon Shita is that when you're accomplishing nothing because that's not the psak halacha, then that's when we tell you you're not allowed to do that. Then you're wasting your time. But when you're accomplishing something, with even within the other opinion that we paskin like, so then, of course, you should be machmir. So basically, when there's no room to be machmir, when it's not going to add anything according to the opinion that we paskin in favor of. That's the shita of the Gaon, and that's the Chorab pshat in the Rav Yah as well. All right, maybe we'll continue in a few minutes. Try to wrap it up. So again, the Rav Yah's shita was what? Just to get back.
He holds like Rabbeinu Tam,
and he holds that it's a din of Yura to. Be more machmir than she does remain in time. There's no Indian whatsoever to wait until after Tisak Kochavim. Why? So now we can understand a little bit about what's going on here, right? So we said that if you hold that there's a definitive psak, that the Zman is before Tisak Kochavim, let's just for argument's sake say you can be Yotze Plaga Mincha, and you choose to wait till a different Shita that we don't paskin like, so the Rav Yah is saying that's Yura, because what do we see Yura is, essentially? What do we see? That there's no inyan whatsoever in being machmir when the opinion that we paskin like says you're doing nothing. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, what more are you accomplishing by waiting till Tzeis HaKochav? Absolutely nothing. You're doing nothing better than had you waited, you know, than had you said it after Plaga Mincha or one of the earlier Zmanim. There's nothing gained in waiting for the more machmir opinion. It's not like we said in Beis Hillel would say, oh, of course, if you're machmir for Shitas Beis Shammai, in the case of benching, and you choose to go back, even though I say you don't have to go back, so then you're accomplishing something, you're benching in a better way, just I don't require that of you. So then Beis Hillel would say, okay, so you want to be machmir, so that's Tavo Ala Bracha, that's terrific. You want to be more machmir, I agree that you're accomplishing something. There's a, I guess to use a, to lack of a better term, there's a halachic significance in the opinion that you're being choshish for. As opposed to Rabbeinu Tam, there's no halachic significance in waiting for Tzeis HaKochavim to say Kriyashma. You're not doing anything better. And therefore, that's like lying down for Kriyashma Shel Arvis, according to Shitas Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel would say there's nothing significant whatsoever in being Mekayim, the Pshuto Shel Mikra of B'Shachbacha, when it comes to saying Kriyashma. It's just the Zman. The Pasuk is talking about the Zman Shechiva. It's not talking about the actual act of Shechiva. It's not, there's no Indian to stand up for Kriya Shema Shel Shachris because it says Uv Kumecha. It's talking about the Zman Kima and the Zman Shechiva, not the actual action of Kima and Shechiva. So this would seemingly be the pshat that the Vilna Gaon has in the Gemara in Sukkah as well. Let's just review. The Gemara in Sukkah said that if you choose to eat an Achilas Haroi in the Sukkah, is lace be mishim yura. So what was the havamina that it would have been yura? The havamina is that if there's no chiv to eat an achilas aroi in the sukkah, what are you doing when you eat an achilas aroi in the sukkah? Nothing. You're accomplishing zero. There's no mitzvah whatsoever to take a drink of water in the sukkah. So kamash malan, the Mishnah is teaching us what? That there is a kiyum hamitzvah for eating an achilas aroi in the sukkah. Right? So what's that kiyum mitzvah? What mitzvah is it? Patsukas teshva shivas yamim. You're supposed to live in the sukkah the way you would live in your house. Now, true, you wouldn't, quote-unquote, force yourself to go home to eat an achila sarai. You would be happy to eat an achila sarai on the road, but there are definitely people who are more, I guess they're bigger homebodies than other people, that they like to do everything at home. They don't like to do things on the road. So they would be more comfortable having a nice, refreshing drink of water in the comfort of their own kitchen or their own dining room, more so than they would be standing outside the house. They would go inside the house in order to enjoy it. And that, when you do that, you're making your sukkah more of your home. And that's the kiyum. There's no chiyuv. There's no chiyuv to eat all 7 days in the sukkah. It's only if you're going to eat nachilas keva, then you have to eat it in the sukkah. But that doesn't mean that just because there's no chiyuv to eat an achilas aroi in the sukkah, that you're not being mekayim the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah by eating an achilas aroi in the sukkah. That's a kiyum mitzvah as well. So what do you? It's exactly parallel to the way the Gaon views the mitzvah achilas matzah. There's only a chiyuv to eat achilas matzah. There's only a chiyuv to eat matzah on the first night, but every other time you choose to eat matzah, that's a kiyum mitzvah. So too in the sukkah, when you choose to eat in the sukkah, even though you didn't have a chiyuv to do so, that's also a kiyum mitzvah, right? That's we drew the distinction between choosing to be mekayim achilas aroy in the sukkah versus mitzdar potim in a sukkah. You remember that from back in the day? Right? What was the famous comment of the Vilna Gaon when it came to the reason why there's no inyan to be machmir, to dafka eat in the sukkah when it's raining? Right? So the Gaon writes in the Bir Agrah, this is the ain shame sukkah aleh. There's no shame sukkah. When there's a rainy sukkah, that's not called a beis dira. So it's a psul in the chefts of the sukkah. Mashein kain, when it comes to choosing to eat an achilas aroy in the sukkah, that's still a shame sukkah on the chefts. It's a tour in the gavra. But if you choose to bring yourself into the sukkah and eat the achilas aroy inside the sukkah, avada you mekayim a mitzvah. And that's a mitzvah kiyumis. There's no chiyuv, but you're being mekayim the mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah, which would have been a chiyuv had it been an achilas keva, but it's still a kiyum mitzvah to eat an achilas aroy. So there's no inyan of yura any time where there's going to be a kiyum mitzvah. If you're doing something of halachic significance, there's no din of yura. The most extreme example, perhaps, is the Gaon shita of when you're supposed to wear your tefillin. Right? What does the Vilna Gaon hold about wearing tefillin? You're supposed to wear tefillin all day. Right? So I think Bizman Azeh, we could say that there's no bigger act of yura than that, saying there's people choose to wear tefillin all day. If they're not, you know, recognized as special tzaddikim or special gedolim, I don't think people take too kindly to that. I think that's really absolutely, you know, the wrong thing to do. That's not poshut at all. But the Gaon shita was that the ikur time to wear the tefillin was the entire day. It's not the main kiyum mitzvah to just put them on once a day and be yotzei with that. And therefore he tried to encourage those who would listen, which was pretty much nobody. He tried to encourage those who would listen to wear tefillin all day. And he said, you're allowed to go to work with your tefillin on. You're just not supposed to speak Dvarim B'Teilim. But you're allowed to go to work with your tefillin on. He would say that if you can get away with it, you should have a small shel yad and a small shel rosh, and you put a hat on to cover up the shel rosh so it wouldn't be revealed when you walk past things that may be inappropriate to be wearing tefillin in front of or whatever. But in general, it's always good to have small tefillin, but that's a different story. But in terms of placement, you're much better off with smaller tefillin than with bigger tefillin. But either way, he said that at the very least, if you're afraid that you're living among Goyim and they're going to beat you up or they're going to laugh at you or whatever for your tefillin, he said, wear a small shel yad underneath your sleeve and at least be mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin shel yad. So I don't think anybody really follows this. There's one kolel in the old city. I think they wear tefillin all day. They do everything like the shita of the gra, and they wear tefillin all day. But I think outside that one kolel in the old city, I don't think anybody does it. But lemaisa, isn't that a huge act of yura? So based on what we're explaining, there's no chashash yura whatsoever. Because when you wear the tefillin for the entire day, you're mekayim a mitzvah of tefillin doraisa every single time you wear them. All day you're being mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin. So there's no isser of yura when you're being mekayim a mitzvah through your actions. So it comes out, according to the Gaon, yura is not just simple arrogance. It's an act of shtus. It's an act of narishkeit. The Torah has no interest in us doing meaningless activities. The Torah wants us to be doing meaningful halachic actions, not to be doing things which don't add up to anything. That's yura. Who told you to do this? Who told you to do this hanhaga that doesn't mean anything? It's nothing. You chose to do it on your own? So that's nonsense. That's yura. What are you being such a show off for that you chose to perform this action? So he's saying, but something which the Torah views as a halachic, you know, act that you're being mekayim something, that's not yura. It's a kasha on all the people who aren't doing it. Who told you not to do this? Saying, why would you choose not to do an action which is going to be mekayim a mitzvah? That's the taina, the counter argument against the yura, is that he's doing a significant act. You, by avoiding it, are choosing to avoid acts of significance. Why would you do that? Yeah.
Is it also a gross shita by Talmud Torah as well?
That it's a constant chiyuv.
Yeah. things like that.
What does
that
have to do with that?
That he doesn't just say that it's one time, that's it. He says, or, I mean, the constant, yeah, that isn't like, he doesn't say that you're five and then.
I don't know if the two are related, per se. I don't think I would link the two. Yeah.
You said, like, the girl holds that you're is a didn't arrogance, but if you're going to put it up against...
Well, the word you are means arrogance, so you can't argue that point.
But if you put it up against, if you put it up against a Kiyo Mitzvah, then it's not going to be strong enough to, to tell you not to do that.
I think it's a fight between the level of arrogance versus the significance of the mitzvah. I think that there's no arrogance involved when there's a Kiyo Mitzvah involved. What does it mean, an arrogance? Hashem said, do this, I'm doing it. What are we talking about here? Hashem said, if you do this, this is meaningful. If you do this, this is meaningless. So to do the meaningful acts is never going to be yura. To do the meaningless acts, that's yura. So to just stam, involve yourself in shtus vehevel, which you're not being makayim anything, so that's nonsense. That's yura. Yeah.
Okay, this is a different hagdara than Maritz Chayes originally?
Oh, absolutely. It's a totally different meaning. Maritz Chayes, and if you look in the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayos, which is the real basis for the Maritz Chayes' view, says that even when you're being makayim mitzvos, there's an inyan of yura. Because it's just a question of the Rambam, basically the way he phrases it by the Mishnah of Rabban Gamliel, by Kriya Shema, for the Chosin, the Rambam says that we don't, the Chachamim didn't want you to be doing mitzvahs in a way that's seemingly very much Shalol Lishma. That's not the Lashon of the Rambam exactly. That's the way I understood the Lashon of the Rambam, Pirush Mishnayos, is that you don't set yourself up in advance to do a mitzvah Shalol Lishma. Right? This is a big question in general. How bad is doing something Shalol Lishma? Right? Because there's a stira in the Gemaras and Psachim and Brachas. Shalol Lishma sounds like could be horrible, and it sounds like it could be, the way to go. So that's Tosas' shita has, the stira, Tosas deals with the stira, the difference between Shalol Lishma versus Lakanter, and then you have Rav Dessler's famous teretz, that really Shalol Lishma is terrible, but that's only when it's an end in and of itself. If it's a means to getting to Lishma, then it's good, right? But Lamaisa, you see, there are those who hold that in and of itself, doing a mitzvah, Shalol Lishma, is a very bad thing. Right? A person learns Torah Shalol Lishma, it's Noach Shalol Nivra. It's better that he would have been a miscarriage. Right? The Gemara is very graphic. Noach lo shenefach shal yaso aponav lo yatzel avira olam. Better that he would have been overturned as a fetus, and he never would have come to this world. That's the Mefarshim talk about what that exact Lashon means, but okay. Lamaisa, I think I read somewhere that means that when you're in the womb, so you learn Kol Torah Kula. So if you're going to come out of the womb and then you're going to learn Torah Shalol Lishma, so you're better off, you're better off ending it all when you were in the womb. You had Torah Lishma in the womb, and that's good enough for you. You come out into this world to learn Torah Shalol Lishma, so you're already cheapening all your former teachings. I don't know. I think I read that somewhere, but the point is that doing a mitzvah Shalol Lishma is not a good thing. So the Rambam says when the din of Yura seems to be that we try to avoid setting you up for failure in advance by telling you to do a Maisa Mitzvah, which has the outward appearance of arrogance, which is generally not going to be done Lishma. It's going to be done for your own personal ego, your own personal, feel good. So that's not something we want people engaging in. So that's the Maritz Chais is going along the lines of the Rambam. Right, so then the kasha is, what do you mean, shalishma, shalolishma, all right, whatever. If you're learning, we learn the sugya in sukkah, we'll talk about that, but that's not for now. But getting back to the grah, so you see the grah shita, you wear tefillin all day, you eat achilas aroy in the sukkah, right, so there's no inyan whatsoever to be choshish for yura when it comes to a maisa that's gorei mekiyum mitzvah. So maybe now we could go back to these other hanhagas and try to explain them. Right, so we said what was the din that the Ramah Shita was that you're supposed to, the minig is to say the Haggadah on Shabbos Haggadah. Why? Because that's the Haschalas Hanes, that's the Bir Agron that Ramah says, because that was the Shas Haschalas Hanes. What was the Shas Haschalas Hanes? So the seeming shot is that that's when the Jews took the Seh LeBeis Avos, right? That's when they took the home of the Korban Pesach, and there was a tremendous nace that the Mitzrayim didn't kill them on the spot What he'd say, where are you going with that sheep? Oh, I'm going to shecht it to my God, because my God is the only real God and your God is a joke. That's not something that a Mitzri would want to hear. And the Mitzrayim said, oh, okay, see you later. I'm saying, what? You know, I try going up into the, you know, trying to go up to all the big churches in the neighborhood, and you're going to say, oh, what are you doing up there? Oh, I'm just going to saw off the cross and light it a big bonfire in honor of the true God, which is my God, not your God. Oh, okay, see how well that turns out for you. Saying it's not going to go so well. So that was the big nace of Shabbos HaGadol. That year, Shabbos was the 10th day of Nisan, and Shabbos was the day that they were supposed to bring home the carbon, and that was the big nace. So the Haskalas HaNace, already the Haskalas HaGeula was starting at that time. I saw a second shot, maybe what the Vilna Gaon means by saying the Haskalas HaNace, was that the spiritual Shibud was already going away by that point, because what was the Taina? How could I take the Bnei Yisrael out there? Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So Hashem said, I'll give them a mitzvah that they should be able to rely on, and they'll take it out. So when they went and took the seh, that was the beginning of the spiritual geula. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu had a reason why we deserve to go out of Mitzrayim, and therefore he was able to take us out based on that action that we performed at the time. All right, either way, Lemaisa, so we say the Haggadah because it's the beginning of the nes. We're all pumped up for geulas Mitzrayim. Let's read the Haggadah to get ready. Right, so that's the Ramah Shita. It makes perfect sense. We're talking themes of geula. Let's talk Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why not? The Gaon says there is no halachic significance whatsoever to reading the Haggadah any day but the Leil HaSeder. There's no reason whatsoever why you should read the Haggadah on the Leil Shabbos HaGadol. There's no inyan. Right? So you're going to say, oh, because it was the Ascholos HaGula. Say in Achinami, Yachum Rosh Chodesh. I might have thought you're supposed to already start reading from Rosh Chodesh. Talmud Lomar Bayomahu. Yachum Ibod Yom. I might have also said a good svar to say why it's Mibod Yom, right? Talmud Lomar Bavur Zeh, right? Lo Amru El Abishash Yesh Matzul Mar Munachim Lefanecha. The minig to read early is a minig shtus. The only inyan to read the Haggadah that has any significance al pi halacha is Bishash Yesh Matzul Mar Munachim Lefanecha. And therefore, there is no inyan whatsoever to read the Haggadah, you know, and mincha time on Shabbos HaGadol. Fakert, that's a minig shtus. It means nothing. So we don't engage in meaningless activities. There are better ways that you can spend your time. And therefore, he said dafka, not to. Not because the Ramah didn't know that's what it says in the Haggadah. He was reading the Haggadah on the spot. He would get to that part. He'd be like, oh, my bad. I didn't realize we weren't supposed to read the Haggadah right now. So Lamaisa, the Ramah also read the Haggadah last year, and he probably had an excellent memory, and he knew that's what's coming up. But the Ramah said, you don't know what a minig is. A minig is something nice that you do in the spirit of the day. And the Gaon said, that's not what a minig is. A minig is an act of halachic significance. There's two totally different definitions of minagim. So the Gaon says, that's not a good minig. A minig is something which has value al pi halacha. And the Ramah said, no, that's not. Right, that's why Rav Soloveitchik was always mamshich in this derech, to try to put halachic significance to every little minig that it said, right? That's why he says, what are you standing up vayivarach David? There's no inyan whatsoever al pi halacha to stand for vayivarach David. So he came up with an idea. He said, no, what's the minig is always in shuls that they start collecting tzedakah around Vayivarach David time, because you want to get the tzedakah collection in before Birchas Kriya Shema. Because it's true, you're not really supposed to be mafsik during Psukim Dezimra, but it's much bigger in you not to be mafsik during Birchas Kriya Shema. So I want to collect all the tzedakah before Birchas Kriya Shema starts. So the Shliach Tzibur or whatever, the Gabbai Tzedakah, realizes around Vayivarach David time, we better start collecting the tzedakah, so we get it all in before Birchas Kriya Shema, before Baruch Hu. So that's when they used to collect tzedakah. So Rav Soloveitchik said, that's what you're standing up for. You're standing up for the guy who's a shliach mitzvah. He's coming around to collect all the tzedakah. Right? He said, that was also why you stand up for the chassan and the kala, because the majority of Rishonim hold that it's a mitzvah to get married. So you have a person, he's on his way to do a mitzvah. So you want to show them kavod. Wasn't because chassan domel lemelech, right? Gufa for this reason, because Rav Soloveitchik held, there's no halachic significance to calling somebody a chassan until he's actually under the chuppah. Right? We call a guy a chassan already from the time, you know, I don't know, from, like when he starts dating, he's already a chassan. Right? So he starts dating, you know, 6 years from now, he's already going to marry the girl, so he's a chassan for 6 years. Right? So that's already, we call the person a chassan, but I think Rav Shechter told us Rav Schwab was makbid not to call them a chassan. I'm not sure if it was for this reason, but I think it was, that a chassan is a term, al pi halacha, for somebody who's currently engaged in the art of getting, in the act of getting married, right? So he called them a meshudach and a meshudachas, because these are statements of halachic significance. They're not stam words you throw around. It's a term, api halacha, chassan. That's why Rav Soloveitchik wouldn't put the ashes on the chassan's head before he walked down the aisle. It doesn't have a din of a chassan. You're not being mekayim the minig. You're not being mekayim the zeichel achurban. The dafka says, right, in the Gemara in Bava Basra, says, ze efer makla, what's the lashon? Ze efer makla al rosh chassan, or something like that. I think I said it over wrong. It says that it should be the ashes that are on the forehead, on the makam anachas tefillin, of the chassan. If the guy's not a chassan, you can put ashes on his head. You're not being mekayim the zeichel achurban. So dafka under the chuppah, he would put the ashes on the forehead of the chassan. Not before he walked down the aisle. Yeah.
You know, like, said that for the bride, whatever, for the girl walking down, she's not in this book to get married. Maybe she's helping him, in a sense. Is that would be any significant?
Well, if there's a mitzvah to get married, she doesn't have a mitzvah to get married. If you hold it's peru revu, so maybe you could say she doesn't have a mitzvah. But if you hold that getting married is a mitzvah, why isn't it her mitzvah also? Saying, is that such a thing? I wasn't aware of such a thing. I thought if you held that kiddushin already and nisuin is a mitzvah, so then it's a mitzvah for the chassan and a mitzvah for the kala. If you hold that it's dafka hechsher mitzvah for pru revu, so then that's only a mitzvah for the chassan. No? I don't know, maybe I'm way off on that. I'm not sure. For some reason, that's what I thought. But anyway, Lamaisa, just getting back. So you see, this is a theme that the Gon has when it comes to what's considered a real minig and what's not considered a real minig. And so too, maybe you could throw this in at the end as why did he dafka make havdalah on beer, if that's in fact what he did, right? Why did he dafka make havdalah on beer, and why did he dafka go out of his way to eat yashan, which only a day ago or that day was chadash, and why did he dafka go out of his way to not eat Shmura Matzah right after Pesach, and Dafka, yes, eat Chametz right after Pesach. Again, the same reason, to show that everything we were doing was an act of significance, al pi halacha. It wasn't stam an act that we're doing. It wasn't stam a maisa that we do because we want to, it makes us feel good. It was everything we do has to be a maisa which has a chalos, al pi halacha. There's some type of a kiyum mitzvah involved in that. Really, and that's the definition of a minhag, according to this mahalach. A minhag is something which has a... We're noheg to do a particular halacha out of context, right? You can't just make up new minhagim, like, let's just, you know, let's have a new minhag that we jump up and down 15 times on the 10th day of Svirah. You know, that's not a minhag. That's an act of nonsense. That doesn't mean anything, according to this mahalach. You know, again, it's not the only way to go, but this is, you know, this is the mahalach we're talking about tonight. So that's the chora of the pshat, and why the Vada Rabbanim of the five towns, Paskins, like the Gon's definition of minhagim, and they say, no, you have to eat pizza, you have to have donuts on Motzoi Leila Pesach, and the Vada Rabbanim of Queens, Paskins, like the Ramah style of minhagim, and they say, no, there's no Indian to have chametz on the Motzoi Pesach any more so than usual. So l'chora, that's one mahalach you could have in explaining this. Just a second, I'll pee hashkafa, just a quick mort, based on two stories, right? So we know one of the great themes in the life of the Vilna Gaon, if you had to characterize his hashkafa was always serving Hashem l'shma. Right? That was like perhaps the number one message that the Gaon tried to yarshin to his followers, is that everything is done l'shem shamayim. Right, so there's a famous story, I may have told you this already, that when he tried and look for the esrog, I tell you that story? Right, so he's trying to look for the esrog, he's always thinking that he could try to be mekayim l'shem shamayim, and I also tell you that other story about that I read in that conservative book. There's a story, like, I don't know, I was once at a used book sale, and I saw, like, this conservative rabbi wrote a book about, like, Jewish folk heroes. So there were some, you know, famous rabbis, mostly not rabbis, other folk heroes, and like, so one of them was Rabbi Elijah of Vilna, so, you know, that's, you know, something I'm interested in, so I figured I'd read that little short story. So it was a short story about, I said, Rabbi Elijah he's fasting again. Everybody was very nervous in Vilna that the whispers were going down the street that Rabbi Elijah was fasting again. By the way, what was he? He wasn't called the Vilna Gaon in his lifetime. What was he called? A Chassid mi Vilna, right, ironically. He was known as Rabbeinu Eliyahu HaChassid Mivilna, right? So that's so they said Rabbi Elijah is fasting again. Oh no, how he's been fasting for 2 days. Why is he fasting? He can't figure out Pshat in the Gemara. Okay, so he can't figure out Pshat. He's fasting until he understands Pshat in the Gemara already. So they said, what are we going to do? He's going to die from his fasting. You know, he's not a very strong person as it is, although he was known as a very strong person. But he said he was already weak as it is. What's going to be? So they said, oh, quick, get Rabbi Chaim. Maybe find Rabbi Chaim. So they find Rabbi Chaim. I assume they mean Rabbi Chaim of Valozin, right? So they found Rabbi Chaim Valozin, and they said, okay, maybe the two of them together could finally figure this out. They'll put their heads together for sure. They'll figure this one out. So they sat and they learned and they taught. Another day goes by, a few hours go. They've already been fasting for a long, long time. What are we going to do? Finally, figure it out. They do a little whatever. They're very excited. They're happy. So Reb Chaim says to the Gaon, he says, Rebbe, now you can finally have something to eat. So he says, he looked at Reb Chaim and he said, this is the Lashon of the story, if I recall correctly. He says, no. Elijah can serve his master without any reward. Let's just continue learning. So, I'm saying, so this conservative individual who, you know, he was trying to characterize the Vilna Gaon. He says, what was his yisod was serving Hashem l'shma. That was what everybody get out of it. He said, I'm not going to eat until I can properly serve God. And even when I feel that I've properly done it, I don't need the reward. I don't need to eat now. He says, we can just keep learning without any reward. That's not the issue. Right, the same message with giving away the schar for the esrog, you know. That's my whole life. I've been waiting for an opportunity to do a mitzvah truly lishma, and this is my first opportunity. That's a question. I'll be halacha whether or not that really works. I think Rosh Weiss has a shtickle on the Yisachar Zvulun, where he points out you can't actually do that. It doesn't actually work. They said the whole standard mahalach in Yisachar Zvulun is not correct. You can't give away your schar for learning. Doesn't work that way. You can't give someone else the schar for doing the mitzvah. It says the person can get schar in the sense that they helped support Torah, but you can't give away the schar for a mitzvah. It's not yours to give away. I don't know. Whatever. That's I think it's probably in Vizosa Bracha. It's probably a piece in Vizosa Bracha of Smach Zvulun B'Tzeisecha V'Yisachar Ba'alecha. I don't know. You can check it out. It definitely has a piece on it. Anyway. So perhaps that's the pshat also that the Gaon was dafka trying to show. And that's what it spells it out pretty much clearly in the Maaser Rav. He wanted to show, we eat matzah. Why do I eat matzah? Because I love the taste of matzah? Irrelevant. I eat matzah all, it was machabib, the mitzvah of achilas matzah, all 7 days. You know, he dafka ate shalashudas on Erev of the last day of Pesach, because he wanted to show the chavibus of the mitzvah of achilas matzah. And then right when it was over, boom, wanted to show that I wasn't eating the matzah because it was so delicious. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I was eating the matzah because of the mitzvah, and the second there's no more mitzvah to eat matzah anymore, I'm drinking beer, right? And I don't drink, and the reason I refrained from the beer all those days had nothing to do with the fact that I don't like beer. See, I love it. It's delicious. So I'm going to make Havdalah on the beer right now. So he says, Dafka, the reason I didn't eat pizza all those days wasn't because I don't like pizza. I'm running to the five towns to get pizza already. It's not... You know, it's not so. There is an inyan. I'll be halacha and I'll be ashkafa to try to be mekayim the father or bottom of the five towns, and to dafka have pizza and donuts on Motzai Yantar. Leave it at that.